Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit just about my history, the history of Raven Radio, a little bit about Raven Radio and the staff and the board and the budget and our relationship with Coast Alaska, our renovations that we have gone through, some of the website innovations that we have made, and then I want to talk about the emergency services that we've been working towards making available to the community. And then I want to wrap up with our 30th anniversary celebration schedule, which will be around the 4th of July. So there's a fair amount to get through. I'll try to leave some time for questions as well. But if at any point I move on and you really want to hear a little bit more about something that I touched on, just raise up your hand. I'm A-OK to stop, and we can chew on it then, or we can just have some questions at the end. So my name is Ken Fate, and I'm the general manager of Raven Radio. I know many of you, some I don't, and hello to all of you. And I would like to let you know that I am about 22 years here in Sitka, arriving in 1990, and I came from Moscow, Idaho, where my family, for the most part, grew up, and my mom is still living in Lewiston, Idaho, and I'll be headed down for the family visit time here in a couple of weeks. I was hired as a chief announcer at Raven Radio in 1990, and I'll be coming up on 22 years at the radio station, as well as in Sitka here in a few months. About half that time I spent as the program director, and that is the person that's in charge of the volunteers, the programming, basically anything that you hear on the air, except for the news, which is the news director's responsibility, and that is Robert Woolsey, who is joining us here today. After I had spent my 11 years as program director, I thought I'd have a little bit of a break. My wife Rachel and I moved down to Montana to spend a little more time around that area and spend some time with family, and we lasted about 6 months before we moved back to Sitka, and I took the job as general manager, as the former general manager, Lily Herwald, who's among us, had moved on to a different position at that point. So I've been the general manager about 8 years, and I'll introduce my wife, Rachel Fate, who works as the office manager for the law office of Brandon Marks, who is also here next to her. And so this is Rachel, everybody. Thank you for coming, dear. Raven Radio signed on the air in March, the 6th of March, in 1982. So this is our 30th year being on the air. The effort to start Raven Radio began years before that with the group of community members getting together and incorporating and filing for the FCC permits and such. And I just want to clarify that Raven Radio is a nonprofit organization that owns a FCC license to broadcast, and every member of Raven Radio is an owner of the station. And so just to start off with the fundamentals, Raven Radio is owned by us. The license is in the hands of Sitkins. We do pay money to receive programming from some organizations that maybe you've heard of, National Public Radio, the Alaska Public Radio Network, Public Radio International. These are organizations that make programs that we want to broadcast. Some of them like Prairie Home Companion, or others like Morning Edition, a news program, and we pay money, and then we can use those shows. But they are not owners of Raven Radio. They don't have a controlling interest in Raven Radio. They don't control Raven Radio. We are a local organization owned and run locally. Some folks think of public radio as something that is brought to a community from the outside. And I just want to make very clear that Raven Radio is of, by, and for Sitka. We also serve communities around Southeast Alaska through smaller transmitters that are ultimately fed our signal by a variety of communication links, including fiber optics and satellite. And those communities are Angoon, Elfin Cove, Cake, Pelican, Port Alexander, Tenneke Springs, and Yakutat. including Sitka. That's a total population of about 12,000, and about half of those people listen to Raven Radio at some point during the week. And that is a figure that we have had measured about every 5 years and stays fairly consistent. And the growth area now for us we're seeing is online, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later on. We're located in the Cable House at the end of Lincoln Street. It's the White House down there, and it's getting newer every day, the old Cable House. It was built in 1908, or at least finished in 1908. It was started around 1907, and it took a while to build things. And that's Russian-era construction, and when you get inside of the walls, which we have a little bit, you can see that timber is very, very old, and some of it's not quite regular, and some of it is more like, oh boy, really old and tired. And I feel very good that we've been fixing the building up. It's listed on the National Historic Registry as the receiving station of the first telegraph cable connecting Alaska directly to the lower 48. So that's why it's called the Cable House. And Raven Radio purchased the Cable House from AT&T Alaskom in 1998. And we have been working to restore the building ever since. And I can say that we're not finished, but we're much, much further along the way. And I'll talk in a little bit more detail about that later on. Raven Radio has 49 volunteer shows per week of all different genres, from classical to rock and roll, blues, jazz, bluegrass. If you can find a genre, we have it on the station. And if we don't, we would like to get it there. The point of Raven Radio is to provide an alternative to commercial radio or any other kind of radio that exists these days, satellite radio or even other web radio, an alternative to what exists that is available. And so if you're a country fan and there's not a country station, we've got some country shows. And so that's the goal of Raven Radio, is to provide a number of different entertainment genres of music, as well as to provide local news for the community, which I think is an incredibly important part of Raven Radio's mission. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. Back to the volunteers, we have 49 volunteer shows per week, and counting the different folks that do those shows, some do them every other week, we have 65 people per month that are volunteers that do radio on a consistent basis. And we have 50 active substitutes. So sometimes those folks get sick and we need to bring others in. So that means that right now in Sitka, there are about 115 people that are trained to do radio programs. And we will train another probably 30 each year. Over the course of our years, we used to train even more, up to 50 per year. And we've trained hundreds of folks to do radio programs and to do not only on-air radio shows, but also production work and some news work and such. Just to raise a hand, how many people in this room have been trained to do radio at Raven Radio? So that's a significant number, and I think that almost any gathering that you find in town, that you'll find somebody that has undergone some kind of a training or volunteered in some capacity at Raven Radio. And that underscores my point, is that Raven Radio is woven throughout the community. It exists of, by, and for Sitka. During our pledge drive last year, we did things a little differently, but last year when it was a full 8 days of pitching on the air, we had 116 different community members on the air that week. Another 50 answered phones. During the pledge drive this year, which was a one-day drive but a week of celebration beforehand, where we didn't go through the process of asking for pledges actively, but rather just brought people in the community in. We had 18 local musicians and bands performing on the air over the course of 7 days. In a one-week span, May 3rd to May 9th, just a week ago or so, if you looked on our online community calendar, more than 30 different community organizations had events or public service announcements on that community calendar, which is also read on the air. So the organizations and the people that make up this town are well represented on Raven Radio airwaves. And I just want to take a brief moment there and recognize that the number of people that come to do public service announcements and the number of people that come to do interviews is equaled by the number of people that are featured on the news, that are newsmakers, that have their voices in the newscast. And we don't often count or talk about those participants in Raven Radio. Those are the people that are having what they say heard, recorded, and presented as news. And I am sure that there are many people in this room that have found themselves on a Raven Radio newscast. Let's have your hand up if you've been on a Raven Radio newscast before. So a lot of newsmakers in this room, and so this is a very good room to be in. I'm glad I'm here because I have some great stuff to share with you all. Let me just really quick, I want to go through our board of directors. Raven Radio has a board of directors elected by the membership. Anybody that makes a pledge of money is a member of Raven Radio and is an owner of the station. And the board members are Samin Bone, Corey Bosman, Trish Durham, Perry Edwards, Dan Edelaine, Mandy Evans, Robert Haddle, Ted Howard, Ted Loffenberg, and he's the president of the board, and he's right here, Ted. And we also have Jack Lorigan and Steph Steffen. Something notable, something unusual, I think, even, is that two of those board members have been on the board the entire 30-year existence of Raven Radio. So that's an interesting fact that we actually have a 40-year term limit. The board, I think, does a great job. We tend to go about things using a 5-year planning process, and I think it works very well. I think that we're very productive about and proactive about planning where we want to be in 5 years and then taking the steps to achieve those goals, and it works. And so that's something that we have a lot of different people with great experience. The 4-Acre group is a resource in Alaska that I highly recommend for nonprofits. We have training almost every year for different members of the board through the 4-Acre group. And you do have to pay a little bit of money, but if you've never heard of it and you are involved in a nonprofit, I would just like to say, give me a call. I left cards out. If you haven't had any interactions with them, it's well worth investing a little bit of time for whatever nonprofit group that you might be involved with as a volunteer or a board member. They've been a great help for us. The Raven Radio staff, we have a staff of 5 full-time people. 2 of those are news reporters. Robert Woolsey is the news director, and Ed Ronco is the news reporter. And that, I think, is a fantastic use of our resources. And I just want to say that I think that news reporting, having a daily newscast, having a local newspaper that's locally owned, having a local radio station with a daily newscast and 2 full-time news people, it helps a community, any community, and ours is the fortunate topic of today, is that it helps a community be introspective, democratic, and thrive. And that's one of the reasons that I'm here and working the job that I do, is that I feel passionately that it's not just something that occurs. A healthy community relies and depends on looking at itself and all of the good and bad that it does in a neutral voice, but in an all-inclusive way, so that every voice of the community is welcome to come in and express whatever it wants to. Part of that is the active news gathering, and another part of it is just the open door policy. And all the organizations that we have in this town. And sometimes you joke with each other about, you know, how many nonprofits can a town have? You know, a lot, if it's organized and you know who to go to, and those organizations can have the communication they need to draw in the people with the interests and the skills. And that's what, it's like a clearinghouse of information and communication, and I'm really proud of that. And I think we do it very well. And this community provides all of the resources here, but Raven Radio is a way to channel them. So we've got those 2 reporters right now. Ed Ronco he's been out of town a little bit, getting a national public radio training at their facility on the West Coast just outside of Los Angeles. All expenses paid trip to go get education reporting workshop. And so Ed's just coming back from that. And of course, you know, the reporting on Mount Edgecombe High School and Pacific High and Sitka High School and the Blashley Band coming in all of the time, there are just so much opportunity to use this educational reporting education that he's getting right now. In fact, he walked back in the station right as I was leaving, so Ed's home. We also have morning edition hosts that work part-time to fill in with Robert Woolsey is not available to do the mornings. Chris Todd, Amy Gorn, and Steve Johnson round out the news department. Amy Kramer Johnson is our development director. She sells underwriting, helps with special events. Kayla Betcher is the program director, in charge of all the air sound and all of the volunteers that you hear on the air. And sad news for Raven Radio, Kayla Betcher has just accepted the position of executive director at the Sitka Summer Music Festival, which is fantastic news for the Sitka Summer Music Festival, and we sure do wish them the best. And we'll be doing a search for a new program director over the course of the next few months. And then I'm the general manager. And I should step back and mention that in the summer, we have a summer intern for our news department has become very adept at training folks that are going through their advanced graduate course in journalism. They come here to the summer for a couple of months, and we get them up to speed, and they do reporting, they do hosting, they do live call-in. They have such an experience, and Sitka is such a beautiful place to live and populated by such beautiful people that they go back to their program and they say, wow, it was incredible up there. And so the next year they recruit more good people to come up. And so we have had interns from the same place now. It's the Berklee School of Journalism, the Master's in Journalism program. And year after year we get interns that are award-winning. And I've got some examples here that I would like to read you. Last year's Alaska Broadcasters Association Goldie Awards, Best News Feature in the student division went to Emily Bender, Rebuilding an Orca. And we all know about the orca, and the story there was an award winner. Also, she won, Emily Bender, the last intern, won a News Story Award for Salmon Tours, Best News Story in the student division. And then we also, at that point, won a Best News Story from Ed Ronco for the Pelican Perseveres series. And then from the Society for Professional Journalists, just recently, we won Best Breaking News. That was for Robert Woolsey and Ed Ronco for the Coast Guard charging the helicopter crash survivor in crewmates' deaths. Third place award in breaking news went to Ed Ronco. Visitor makes explosive find on Sitka Beach about the round found out there on John Brown's Beach. Best business reporting in radio was awarded to Ed Ronco. First place award, smaller timber sales might help smaller communities. The name of that. Best comprehensive reporting statewide. First place, Ed Ronco. Pelican struggles with absent fish economy. It's a three-part series. Business and breaking news highlights on these awards that we've gotten this year. And that's not a coincidence. That's a focus. That's using the tools that we've got. And that's Robert Woolsey saying, Ed Ronco, I want you to make sure that we cover these things. But also Best Humor Award for all of Alaska. And that was Robert Woolsey and John Straley. Occupy the North Pole, resist the fat man, but take his cookies. And if you haven't heard that, I think that is still available on our website, as are all of these stories. And I'll get to that here in just a minute as far as our website innovations. Let's just do it now because it fits right in. Our website is going gangbusters, and if you haven't checked it out, it's kcaw.org. We're just putting in our analytics. We're getting more than 2,000 unique visitors per week, and these are from 36 countries plus, but most of them are from around here. Your friends and neighbors are using radio in a different way, which is great. We encourage that. It doesn't matter how you consume what is happening around your community. It matters that you know what's happening and you get involved. We designed this whole website template with our region, with the other stations around the region, and it's a content management system where staff enters the content. So our news folks enter the news stories. The program director puts on the concerts or the live music recordings. So these things are, we don't need a webmaster to come in and do that. We've built the template, and we populate the site, and we do that on a daily basis. You'll find that news stories are archived forever. Everything I just mentioned, if you want to hear about the small timber story, or if you want to hear about the pelican story, you go to the website, and you just type in the keyword on the top of the front page, and it'll search all of the news stories back several years, as long as we've had a website. And we'll never quit archiving from here on out. It will always be available. So no matter what story you hear, you think, oh, I want to check that out, you can. Every story is listed in full script, and we were the first station in the state to do this, and probably the eighth station in the country. I don't know. We're very advanced, and that was because we sat down as a staff, and Rob and Ed said, you know, this will take resources, and we need to evaluate that, and we're not sure if we should take that step. We're not sure how much that'll cut into reporting. Well, we went for it. We said, we'll measure it and see how it works. Now, every story is written out. So if you're at work and you can't listen, like most people, you go to the KCAW website, click on a story, you can read the whole story, including the parts that are recorded when, like, Gary is saying some soundbite. And that's all written out so that you can read the entire story. And then if you have people that you think should read it or hear it, you can link right there to it and email that story to anybody that you want. So when your friends or family are covered in a story and it's good news and you want to share it, easily done. So that's something that we're very happy and proud to be able to supply. The newscasts are on the station. So you can hear each news story, but you can also hear the 11-minute newscast if you prefer to consume your news that way. Every morning interview is on the website and archived. And so if you've got a family member or involved in a nonprofit organization or an event, or you hear about something, you're thinking, you know, that's just so great. This town does that. I wish my neighbor or my brother in Indiana knew about this. You can go to the website and you can send that story to whoever you want. You can listen to it again. We don't have those transcribed yet. The community calendar. Holy smokes, is that an amazing thing or what? Yeah, finally, we've got one place. And so if you don't yet, if you're going to do an event, go look at the community calendar. It's becoming the place to look. Go look at it. Make sure that there's nothing happening on your day that might interfere with your event. And now you can check that out. You can cross-compare. If something is happening, you can call them and say, hey, what's up with this? I might need that. And then put your event on there as soon as you want. There is no time limit. It takes about 2 or 3 days to get it through the vetting process. And it's a wonderful tool, and it's working very well. So any feedback, let me know. But I'm so happy that we got that up and running. And then streaming. We have started streaming a few months ago, and it's amazing, the response. We have almost 500 people every week that are streaming, and that's only a few months in. And they're from 29 countries, different places that are tuning in to listen. So this isn't necessarily just people, you know, searching Raven on the internet and seeing Raven Radio and clicking on that for the website. These are people that are going in and listening. And the community of Raven Radio is larger now because of web streaming. And just a little bit of information. Saturday seems to be the biggest day by far. 147 visitors listened to this last Saturday, and second place is Thursday with 97 visitors on that particular day. We don't know why these patterns yet, but you can bet that we'll be studying them, and we'll be trying to learn and improve our service based on how they're used. All right, let's talk a little bit about the budget of Raven Radio. I just think it's important to keep in mind as we look at how things are happening in Sitka. Money coming into Sitka has been a big topic lately, how to bring money into Sitka. And here's where Raven Radio contributes. $277,000 a year comes into Sitka from the ongoing grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which is the federal public radio grant program, and from the Alaska Public Radio System, Alaska Public Broadcasting Corporation. So that is almost $300,000 that comes into the town. On our one-day drive this this spring, which we didn't quite make the goal for membership in one day, but we have made the goal as of today, and so the patterns are different, but the success is not different. We have achieved our goal of about $136,000 for membership support for Raven Radio, and that number is significant. It's a lot for a town this size, but it needs to be for a town this size to have that support. That's the only way we can have a radio station of this caliber, and so those support figures are wonderful news, and we're changing into that one-day drive structure so that we can spend more time producing news, producing interviews, volunteer programs, and less time on the air physically pitching is the term, and asking for that membership dollar to come in, which is the only way to survive. And everybody's familiar with public radio and public TV, and we're trying to minimize how we do that, although we're not trying to minimize the community interaction that process entails. That community interaction is a very healthy part of the annual life cycle of the radio station to check in. And so there are folks, Roger, you've come in to pitch. You've come in and you've laid down, what was it that you did? It was 20 businesses in an hour? And you said, we'll pitch in here if 20 businesses give us a call in the next hour and support Raven Radio. And, you know, the phones, they light up. People are there listening, and people are there ready to respond and pitch in and make it happen. And we got the 20, and I think next year you said it was going to have to be 40 because it was too easy.
Set the bar higher.
So the one-day drive, I think, is going to be with us and stay with us. It's a success. The bottom line is that we'll continue to do whatever it takes. Business support. There are many businesses that underwrite on Raven Radio, and there are several in this room. So I'd like to thank everybody that is a business underwriter. Who's a business underwriter here in the room? All right, that's great. And over $90,000 of business support for Raven Radio from over 50 underwriters, and that's just phenomenal support. Coast Alaska is an organization that has helped Raven Radio become more efficient. Over the last 15 years or so, Southeast Alaska began working together to formalize a new nonprofit called Coast Alaska, and it provides support services for each of the communities along the lines of accounting and membership and engineering and development, the sales of underwriting regionally. News, regional newscasts. Ed Schoenfeld is a regional reporter that we all pitch in for. Representation when it comes to meeting people in Washington, D.C. or Juneau. Those services have enabled us to streamline and do what we do, which is make radio and content for this community. And so Coast Alaska is a large part of why we're successful. And the success I want to talk about now is the renovation and our emergency services, and then our 30th reunion. The renovation, everybody's seen the cable house is getting better and better each year, and the paint used to be crumbling off. We had 18 leaks in the roof, and we had 18 buckets. And Lily knows. And it would drip down into our workplaces. And I remember one day wondering if it was dangerous if it was dripping off of the light bulb. Like, does that make it more dangerous? Or is that just regular wet? Just a little brighter. So, I remember we'd have to go up and move the buckets and empty the buckets. That was just part of it in a 100-year-old building. But the goal was to identify funders that care about historic buildings, that care about radio, and that care about community. And we did. The USDA Community Facilities Grant Program, the Rasmussen Foundation here in Alaska, the Denali Commission through Alaska Public Broadcasting Incorporated, the Public Telecommunications Facilities Program, that's a federal program, an Alaska State Legislative Grant, the White Elephant, and the Sitka Women's Club. Organizations, large and small, have pitched in to rebuild this 100-year-old structure and make it a home for Raven Radio for easily the next 50 and 100 years. Raven Radio has hired more than a dozen contractors and subcontractors in the last 8 years. We've installed a new roof, new windows, new siding. We've renovated the garage area. We've renovated the downstairs. We've put in a bike shed, an homage to Alice McChesney. We've put in a parking lot so we don't have the icy potholes throughout the winter. And the major concepts that guided this renovation is not only to protect the building, but to protect what's inside the building, which is community participation. It's all about a place where the community can funnel its interests and take the rest of the community's interest and absorb that. Community access, it's all about that. And one of the big deals was ADA access. We now have a studio downstairs. So somebody that can't climb stairs, which for the first 25 years of Raven Radio's existence, if you couldn't climb stairs, you couldn't do radio. That's no longer the case. And there are many reasons why people can't climb stairs, as we've learned in the year that we've had the ADA access. You know, some of it was Frida Aaron, who's 90 years old and doesn't want to climb stairs. I remember she used to climb the stairs and get to the landing and stamp her cane and said, "When are you going to get an elevator in here?" And the elevator was too expensive, so we brought the studio downstairs. And that's, we don't know the half of how important that's going to be yet. As different jewels of this community are ready to share their stories and tell their tales, if stairs get in the way, what a shame that would be, and they won't now. So we need to be gathering those stories, and that's at the top of my list as to what comes for the future. The renovations are almost done. There's things left to do. There's cabinet doors to put on. There's some carpet to put on the stairs. And I think we all know how projects can be. So we're almost there, and we're going to continue to work at it until we are there. In the meantime, we've got a couple of other things I wanted to celebrate. Emergency services. Just a few months ago, we accomplished the installation of generators at the cable house, where our studios are, and over at the over at Mount Edgecombe, where our transmitter lives, and our antenna, which is on top of the flight tower over at Mount Edgecombe. And you can see the actual tower going up on top of the flight tower. That's where the transmitter lives. And we need electricity at both of those places in order to broadcast. And when the power goes out at one or both places, we're off the air. When the power goes out townwide, there's no place that can broadcast. Until now, because we have put in significant effort with a lot of help from Coast Alaska and Molly Kabler personally, we have put in two generators, and now when the power cuts out, we're on the air within 10 seconds of the power going out, and we can be on the air for 3 days without refilling the propane tanks. And when it comes to some kind of a disaster that might rob us of electricity, as happened in Juneau and can happen and has happened here with rolling blackouts and such, we now have the capacity to continuously broadcast. And whether it's an emergency situation or just a really inconvenient situation, you'll want to make sure that you now find yourself a radio that doesn't depend on electricity, because we'll be broadcasting. And so you can get a wind-up radio, a battery radio, and make sure that your friends and neighbors know this right here is one of the first calls to get your radio that we're going to be putting out. This is going to be a pretty major effort over the next year is to make sure everybody knows that in a situation without electricity, we will be on the air and that you'll want to be able to pick us up. And we'll talk a little bit more about the disaster part of that, but just simply the power outage part, just the inconvenience is worth keeping that in mind. So we will be there for you. We also, as far as emergency services, have a radio to go in town at this time. And a radio to go kit is a not greatly known concept that has been kind of battered around Coast Alaska for the last several years. And finally, Coast Alaska and Molly Kabler went after grant funding to get the radio to go made into a reality. And the Coast Alaska engineers built it. We looked around to see if it existed, and it didn't really, so we had to create it. So what is it? It is a series of suitcases that one person can lift, and it's a radio station that is portable. It runs on car batteries. It runs on a generator. If you have electricity, you can plug it into the wall. That's great, but often in an emergency, you don't. The goal here is that if we have, take Sitka, if we have an inundation, which we certainly don't ever hope to, but being prepared for an inundation would mean that the low-lying areas could well be compromised, in which case nobody's going to broadcast anything, in which case high ground, the schools up on the hill, that's where people will go, that's where the command center will be, that's where the emergency services personnel will be gathering information and disseminating information. But how are they going to disseminate it? Bullhorn is what we got before Radio to Go. Radio to Go is now a radio station that we can set up, and it takes about an hour and a half. It's not complex. It's a little studio. We can go get interviews and record. It's a transmitter, and it's its own antenna, and you can pop the cables on a car battery and broadcast. And who's going to benefit? How is this going to help a community that's been inundated with water and has no wherewithal, quite possibly no cell phones, quite possibly radio communications are gone. So who's going to be able to benefit from that? Everybody with a crank radio, everybody with a wind-up radio that can turn that crank and find out what the authorities are trying to tell you. And what might that be? That might be where to go to find missing people in your family. That might be where there's food, where there's shelter, where to move. This is the kind of stuff that you really need to be able to give this information out and to receive it. And so the receiving part is up to you. Make sure you've got that tool that if that ever happens, that you can say, zzz, and listen to what the emergency services personnel want you to know. So we have this in town. It will be stored up in the school system somewhere. We're still working with that, with Chief Miller at the fire hall and Al Stevens. And we're going through, we're finding the best place to store it. We're also going to find the best place to deploy it. I'm on the local emergency planning committee, and I'm working with the fire hall and with LEPC to make sure that this group of emergency responders knows about and is ready to use the capacity of the radio to go. And so we're dovetailing on purpose so that if there's ever an emergency, they're going to be saying, we want this out on this radio to go. And so get this word to where it needs to go. So that is something that I'm hoping that we'll never see or hear. But it's important for you to know that it's there, and we're going to be making sure everybody knows that it's there. Because ultimately, it's not just the wind-up radio that we really all need. This is me with my local emergency planning committee hat on, more than my Raven Radio hat, is that we really need to have a go bag. And we all think that we do, but it's on the boat. And where's the boat? The opposite direction of where you need to be going. So everybody over the course of the next year is going to hear a lot more about this. You need a radio, but you need a lot more. And so as I build my kit, which I don't have yet, I'm going to make sure I become more and more pesky about asking everybody else about their kit. Well, we just got a couple more minutes, so our 30th birthday is coming up. July 4 is going to be the time when we're going to do our celebrations. And we're going to have a couple of really interesting events, one of which is the parade that I just found out this morning that I'm one of the four grand marshals for. Congratulations, Lily, too. And Rich and Barnaby, that will be fun. Saturday, June 30th, we'll have a Raven Radio Fun Run. Walk, wear your Raven Radio garb, and it'll be a 5K, 3K, 5K Fun Run Walk. 4 to 8 at the Cable House, we'll have a Hello Central open house, kind of a live radio show will be happening as people mingle and interviews happen, and it's a show that John Straley and his friend Steve Langhorst used to do, and kind of call people and play games, and it'll be some give and take. If you stop by, you can be on the radio, but you don't have to be. I'll just say that much. On Sunday, we're going to have, at the HPR Rec Big Shelter, we're going to have a beach bonfire and potluck, horseshoes, and other games, a dish to share. Monday, we're going to have a blues cruise with belly meat, probably 6 p.m. in the evening, some catered food and appetizers. And then on Tuesday, we'll have a banquet, a 30th anniversary banquet. That'll be at Harrigan Centennial Hall, and we'll have 30 years of Raven Radio slideshow. You can bet there'll be a sideburn or two in that slideshow. Special speakers, then afterwards, a free dance under the Crescent Harbor Shelter with Three-Legged Dog, the band that's been around in Sitka for generations. And then the fireworks will follow the dance. And then on Wednesday, the 4th of July, Raven Radio will have a parade entry, and Molly Kabler is on that parade committee, so we'll learn more about what that will entail as we go. But the theme is communications through the
years.
So that'll be one that everybody can relate to, and then Raven Radio is going to have root beer floats on the Cable House lawn at the end of the parade, and hopefully it'll be warm and sunny, otherwise we're going to have to heat the root beer floats, and that is just a mess. So those are all the topics that I wanted to cover. I sure am pleased about our 30th anniversary coming up. So many good people have worked so hard to make this a very successful radio station, which it is, because it's in a very successful community. And I consider a radio station to be like a fire, a campfire in a community that used to use the fire as a place to keep warm and to keep dry and to come and share the news of what was happening. And I think that Raven Radio is that. I think Raven Radio is a fire that the community can gather around and share news. So thank you very much for allowing it to be, and thank you for your support in the future. I'm all done. Do you have any questions? Jeff Budd.
Do you have a convertible that all four of you are going to ride in the parade?
We sold it a few years ago. It was a Corvette. Yeah. Some guy donated a Corvette to us, some guy. Dr. Chelius donated a Corvette. And we talked about riding it in the parade, but we didn't. It's gone now. Does anybody have a Corvette or a convertible they want to donate to the cause?
Pickup truck?
Mm-hmm. I think that's illegal. Do you have a question?
I'm excited to see that you broadcast to all the outside communities, and I've always thought that was sort of a opportunity for Sitka economically to reach out a little bit more to them. And what kind of response do you get from Yakutat and Cake and these places that are on your system?
It is obviously very different based on the size of each community. And some of the communities have other services and some don't. And so it varies, but I'd say the response is significant and growing and completely appreciated. Yes?
This is kind of related because not only reaching out to local communities, but reaching out to the world now with your streaming. My kids in the Midwest hear what's going on in Sitka, so we have very topical conversations. But your local newscasters and your talk show hosts and people that have volunteer programs, they're also addressing the world. So there's a little dilution of the message locally, but it's also a focus from the world onto Sitka. I don't know how you balance those two so that we speak. We keep the message here. We keep it local. We're not dealing with national or international issues, but deal with the local situation.
I think that comment defines one of our next great challenges, and that as our audience has been Southeast Alaska, and now that audience has the potential and the reality of being worldwide, how do we, or do we, change the programming? And if so, or if not, why? And so that's something that the first step is really to understand that that's a distinction. If you're a program director, the question is, who are you programming to? And why? And just realizing that the game table has changed is the most important thing for us to do. So it's just started. We do know that. And we'll be evaluating how to proceed to best protect what we have and also to grow what we might want to get. Lily?
One of the things that I really appreciate is that on your newscast, not only the transcript of what is being said, but you also have the links to fuller documents and full interviews, which I think is really valuable and maybe not everyone knows. So if you reference the capital budget, they often say, and there's a link to this on our website. So it's kind of like one-stop shopping to really be able to get information about that story or that issue. So I really appreciate that part.
I'll follow that up and just, Robert's right here, so he'll hear quite well. But a lot of these advancements that we've made on our website, we have to figure out how to do. And it takes time and effort. And Robert's really taken the lead on several of these topics to make it so that the end user, the folks that go to look at a story on the website, have a much better experience because of some of the progress that Rob's made with what we do. So thanks, Rob. Was there a question over here before Jeff? Jerry?
Yeah, Ken, first of all, thank you for being here. I, as you know, with the chamber, there has been a real focus on Sitka's economy. And it's well known that there's been more challenges of recent. And so it's really good that KCAW covered the Chamber's Sitka Economic Summit. And so we're combined with CETA in their efforts to address the economics in Sitka. And how can we make an emphasis on getting an increase in revenue? I think that that's a real important part of the equation. And the Chamber, along with CETA, and I'm glad Gary's here, that we're trying to address that. But thank you to KCAW for trying to make sure that that's covered appropriately.
I'd follow that up by saying for anybody and for any organization, advance notice as far as what's going on makes all the difference in the world. And so if you're involved in a nonprofit and you want to do a public service announcement, or if you've got some sort of a press release, the earlier that you can provide it, then the more options there are available as far as covering it and sharing the news. So thank you, Jerry. Jeff, did you?
I was going to compliment you again on your calendar, but also, do you want to just talk a little bit about your enterprises? The rentals that you do?
The rentals that we do?
Well, the Larkspur and then the Devil
Fest. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Those are businesses basically that rent from us. And so one of the elements is that as we've moved into the renovation part of this building is that through 4-Acre and through Rasmussen Foundation and almost every nonprofit educational organization out there, the more that you can build in ongoing revenue sources that don't depend entirely on the membership revenue coming in, the better off you are. And so we've tried to build into our model sustainable rental elements to our renovation. And so that's what you see down there with the Devilfish Cafe, or the Devilfish Gallery, and then the Larkspur Cafe. And that goes one step further with the downstairs area. Because we had the ADA studio, we really wanted to incorporate the capacity for more live broadcasts to allow the musicians in town and the politicians in town and the poets in town and ultimately anybody in town more of an opportunity for to perform in front of a small audience. So that space of the Larkspur Cafe is actually, by design, a performance space. And we'll have that wired such that performing there, we can put that on the air directly and easily. And that opens up other elements that I'm really looking forward to in the next few years developing, which will be some, like I said, some candidate forums. But thinking a little bit more about just things that Sitkins can do together for fun, which is often a way that we really accomplish other things, is that we learn to know each other and like each other, is game shows, trivia shows. I would really want to move towards our own type of Prairie Home Companion type variety show, which has music and comedy and radio theater. All of these things, I think the best we can think about what radio can offer, which is the theater of the mind, is that we can provide here in Sitka as well as anywhere else in the world. All right, let's be done. Thanks, everybody.